What is the route from teenager to radical? How does someone go from Apple Valley, Minnesota to the front lines of the self-proclaimed Islamic State?
Just another day in the life of a gangster in the hood, feel me? Apple Valley. Was bored out here, so you know, decided to make a little quick ass, you know, video showing you what life's like in the projects.
It's the voice of Haned Mohalim, who grew up in Apple Valley, a suburb of the Twin Cities. On March 9th, 2014, Mohalim flew to the Middle East to fight with a self-proclaimed Islamic State. He's now presumed dead. Others have tried and failed. Six Minnesota men were recently intercepted by federal agents after they tried to obtain fake passports and travel to Syria. Why and how do Somali Americans go from being regular kids to ISIS warriors fighting overseas? Sitting next to me now here in the studio is Laura Ewan. She's a reporter here at Minnesota Public Radio and has been covering this topic in great detail. Laura, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
So where did you have to sort of dive into to find out what was going on in these communities that aren't necessarily interested in talking to reporters?
That's right. Well, I have to give a lot of credit to my colleague Mukhtar Ibrahim, who's actually a Somali American journalist, which is still pretty unique, even in the Twin Cities, home to the largest Somali community in the country. But we have been just trying to go deep into the community, trying to talk to folks who, as you say, are a little bit mistrustful of reporters, not to sensationalize it, but just to really understand what could send some of these kids who were normal by every sense of the word to a battlefield in ISIS.
And some of their friends are as mystified as reporters are. Yeah. Here's a kid named Zach, who is a friend of Abdullahi Yusuf, who last month pleaded guilty to playing a minor role in a conspiracy to help ISIS. Listen.
Towards the end of our friendship, he was a bit of a loner. He would take a step back from basketball. You could actually tell the transition from being a guy that was outgoing to a guy that was kind of saying that he was becoming more mature, you know, acting like a man.
This didn't necessarily disturb Zach, but looking back, he sees the change.
That's right. I mean, what he's describing is almost like this textbook scenario of what it may look like from an outsider looking in as to how someone could be radicalized. Someone who, you know, was outgoing in the beginning. Abdullahi was someone who, he was 18 years old. He was one of the hoopers, they described him, at the mosque. Someone who's playing basketball 24/7, would even sort of, you know, talk a little trash on the court. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he just withdrew. He declined invitations to go to the movies at night, saying he had to really focus. He was becoming, you know, a little bit more religious. And it's a mystery to friends like Zach as to what truly happened.
It's less of a mystery to some of these folks who have family back in the Middle East and in the region, where there's profound pull of the family connections in ways that are sometimes unpredictable. Here's Ayan Abdurrahman, whose 19-year-old son, Zakaria Abdurrahman, is accused of taking the bus to New York with hopes of traveling to Syria from there.
20 days ago, Al-Shabaab killed my niece, who graduated from college. We have a problem on that front. On the other hand, we are losing our educated sons, our future. We are losing them for no reasons after they are being brainwashed. And that's the biggest problem.
So she's talking about changes taking place both overseas and here in this community.
Yeah, and I think what is really underscored in her comment is that Somalis have long felt victimized by terror groups like Al-Shabaab in Somalia. And now this woman, Ayan, has to confront this allegation that her own son tried to become a terrorist. And I've been to these pretrial hearings where I've seen her cry silently, and you get the sense that this scenario was just unimaginable to her, seeing her son in a prison jumpsuit facing these kind of charges.
And so she feels very alone, and it's one of the questions for reporters and for people trying to assess what's going on in this community. Does law enforcement and the FBI play the proper role here? Here are some protesters who really feel that the FBI has overstepped its bounds. Listen.
We are not terrorists. We are not ISIS. We are not terrorists. We are not ISIS.
Now, if you listen to Fox News, of course, they say, why aren't moderates in the community stepping up to control this? We have to have the FBI in there. But really, people in the community, as you've seen, find this very disruptive. the ways in which the FBI is infiltrating groups and families.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. And I think a lot of the moderate Muslims are speaking out. I mean, the majority of the Somali community, of course, condemns the actions of ISIS. What you're hearing in that clip is this, I guess, a sense of just being freaked out. You know, six young men, ages 19 to 21, were arrested on these charges. They never made it out of the country. And there is a sense in the community that maybe the government is overstepping its boundaries. You have to understand that the U.S. attorney in Minnesota, Andy Lugar, at the same time he's the chief prosecutor of these cases, he's also developing a program intended to expand social services in the Somali community that's supposed to prevent radicalization. So these are things like youth mentoring, college scholarships, soccer leagues. These are things that people in the Somali community have long called out for as a way to prevent men from feeling disaffected as they grow up here.
Before we go, do people believe that at the bottom of this case, some truth will be found as to what happened to these boys, how they were turned, what they actually were intending to do?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, there's the sense that they don't know everything. There was a, you know, 30 to 40 page criminal complaint that sort of listed the actions of these guys, but so much still needs to be uncovered. And hopefully if this does go, you know, this progresses through the courts, we'll hear a lot more.
Minnesota Public Radio reporter Laura Yuen, she's covering the radicalism and the disruptions in the Somali community here in the Twin Cities. Laura, thanks so much.
Thank you.